Yes, sir. Amen. Go right ahead, brother. Amen, brother. Woo, what a blessing. Take your Bible and turn to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. This morning, we preached out of the book of Jude, where the Bible says, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith. We talked about areas in our life that need building up. And when we're talking about building up, we're talking about getting better at. Or some things maybe we need to get over. And I said in the message this morning, we need to build up in our growing. In our growing, we need to be getting closer to the Lord. We need to be getting closer to our family. We need to be getting closer to our friends. I believe we're in the latter days. I believe that with all my heart. I said we need to be building up in our growing. But then I said we need to be building up in our glowing. That's our giving thanks to God and our praise. I said there's personal praise, public praise, and purposeful praise. We're going to praise God anyway. And I said we need to be building up in our going, what we do for God. Life is short, time is fast, only that which is done for Christ will last. And then I said lastly, we need to be building up in our giving of our time, our talent, our tithes. We need to be a giving people, amen? And Brother Charles stopped me after the service this morning. He said, you ain't going to believe what the points were of my Sunday school lesson. And this happens all the time. I promise, if you're in Brother Charles's class, we did not discuss this. He preached or taught this morning on growing, going, and glowing. That's exactly what his Sunday school lesson was this morning. But if you found James chapter number 4, say amen.
Amen.
Tonight, just for a few minutes, the message will simply be this, a question. What is your life? What is your life? Look at James chapter number 4 and verse number 13. The Bible said, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Look carefully at verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. And here's the question. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What is your life? Now listen to me carefully. That is a question that will require a self-examination from you.
Amen.
What is your life? You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if somebody, your family, your friends, your co-workers had to sum you up in one word, what would that word be? If somebody were to sum you up in one word, what would that word be? In other words, if you died today and we had to preach for your funeral and people got up to give your eulogy and talk about your life, what would they talk about? Would it be anything that mattered? Would it be anything that made a difference? I think we ought to stop and consider what is our life. We ought to look at our life. We ought to look at what we've done in the past. Some of it we need to get over and leave behind. And make up our mind tomorrow, I'm going to do better. But we ought to take an account of our life and say, what have I done thus far? How far have I got down the road in life that I'm supposed to be on? What have I done that I'm supposed to do? And how much have I done that I wasn't supposed to do? You got to take a real look at your life. What is it? A college student said, life is a joke that ain't even funny. I don't think life's a joke. I think life is serious. Amen. And we ought to take it seriously. An agnostic said that life is the sentence we get for being born. No, that's not right either. The physician said life is the union of body and soul. But the Bible says life is a gift from God. Life is not a sentence, it's a blessing. Let me say that again. Life is not a sentence, it's a blessing. Every day we get to live is a blessing. Amen. I wonder how many of you, be real honest, I know some of you guys, and I know your testimonies, I know your background, some of you I grew up with. How many of us could raise our hand honestly tonight and say, I probably shouldn't even be here. I should have died long time ago. Me and Brother Roger Bush back yonder was coming home from partying one night. I had an old, I don't know what I was driving. Anyway, Monte Carlo. Was it a Monte Carlo? And I passed out, running about 60 miles an hour. And Roger started to holler, Ed. And I opened my eyes and trees were going like this in front of the car, wasn't it? We went between a guy wire and a telephone pole. And I just drove it back out on the road and trucked it onto the house. Didn't think nothing about it. Roger's over there white as a sheet and stone cold sober, amen. We shouldn't be here. I mean, we take an account of our life. Many of us, we shouldn't have been here. And I can tell you story after story after story where I shouldn't be here. But for some reason, God has chosen to allow me another day, another 24-hour period, and I ought to be thankful for that day, and I ought to be thankful for that period. Why? Because every single day is another gift from God. It's another blessing that God has allowed you another opportunity. I wonder how many of you thought yesterday, I blew it. I blew it. Hey, join the I Blew It Club. We've all blown it over and over and over. Just when I think I got a handle on things and just when I think I've made it, I mess up. How about you? But here's the thing. What we do is we get back up. We get back up. The Bible said a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. What's the Falcons theme? Rise up. I wish they'd rise up. Amen. Well, we ought to get back up. Listen, man, we're going to mess up. And that's why God gave you another day. He gave you another opportunity. He gave you another chance. Let's talk about what life is. I want to give you 4 things about life tonight. I want you to think about them very seriously. I've been thinking about this for days with all these funerals. I think last night was 9, number 9, my father-in-law's sister. We had to go to her funeral last night. 9, man, in 5 weeks. You know what I'm reminded of? Life is short. Life is short. You say, well, everybody didn't die young. No, some died in their older years. But listen, you take 70 years. That's the average lifespan of a man. You take 70 years. That's not long at all compared to an eternity. Life is short, man. We need to come to grips with this thing. Hey, the older I get, the more I realize how much time I got left. Amen. You remember when you were young and you remember being 15 and a half, 15, 3/4, all that stuff? You remember how it seemed like Christmas took forever to get there? And now, bud, they just clicking off. Bam, 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 bam. It's 2015, man. That blows my mind. I tell my wife every time I think about it, I think about an apocalyptic movie or something. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Back in the 70s, they could have had a movie, Apocalypse 2015. I mean, really? That seemed like something so far away. So far away. And I woke up one morning and here we are. Here we are, 50 years old, man. How did that happen? Life is short. Our days are clicking off. You know what? Before you know it, 2015 is going to be over. And some of us are going to look back and go, where did it go? Chances are in 2015, we're going to have more funerals. We're going to have more funerals. This world keeps growing more wicked and more wicked and more wicked. We're going to bury some more young people. I don't want to do that. Amen. Y'all listen to me? I don't want to do that. But if things keep going the way they're going, we've not seen the end of this. Amen. Life's short. And we ought to grab all of it we can get. Amen. Life is short. How much time have you got left? The scripture said, they say we're going to go down here and we're going to stay for a year and we're going to buy and sell. We're going to make some money and then we're going to come back. He said, you don't know that. You don't know that. You don't know what tomorrow holds. When Sister Kim laid down on the couch to watch the movie with Jeremy, she didn't know that when she dozed off, she wasn't coming back. She didn't know that. No way of knowing that. Them two little old boys that met behind the fire station to do a little deal. That 18-year-old boy had no idea he wasn't going home. Now, he had no idea he wasn't going home. Man. Got to scuffling over the pistol. He's gone. It's over. That fast. Out of this world. We don't know. What we do need to understand is that life is short, and we need to make sure our heart's where it ought to be. We need to make sure we have a relationship with God. We need to make sure right now, even tonight, that we know if we died today, we'd be in heaven. Amen. Amen. The shortness of life. Man, it's just, you have less time today. Think about this. You have less time today than you had yesterday. That's another day's gone, clicked off. One day it's going to stop clicking. One day you will live the last day of your life. You may have just done it. It's a possibility. I can take you to the graveyard and I can show you graves that big. That big. Everywhere in between. We don't know. We don't know. I hope you live to be 100. I hope you're healthy as a horse till you're in your 70s and 80s. I hope you live a good life. I hope you live a life that counted for something. But it's up to you. I can't do anything about yesterday. It's gone. But I can do something about tomorrow. We need to realize the reality of the shortness of our life and do something about it. Secondly, I want you to notice the seriousness of life. The seriousness of life. Life is not a game. Amen. Psalms chapter 90, the Bible says we spend our years as a tale that is told. In other words, we spend our years, our life is like a story. If we wrote your story or somebody wrote your story and we begin to open that book and begin to read your story, how does it go? Right. Brother Tony Shirley preached a message here one time on what's the story at your house. Yeah. Amen. How would your story read? I hope maybe it would start off like mine. It's kind of bad and rough in the beginning. But somewhere around the middle ways of that story, something happened, something changed. Somebody come to know Christ as their Savior, and things started looking up, and the book just got better and better and better and better. Man, life is serious. It's not a game. It's nothing to play with. We ought to take it serious. We ought to take better care of ourselves. That's something I need to do. I'm preaching to myself right here. We ought to take better care of ourselves. Amen. We're not going to live forever. We're going to die someday. But we're going to do the best we can with what we got. Amen. Amen. Now, I ain't talking about eating only fruits and nuts and don't eat meat. Well, you're crazy. Amen. I like just about everything on a pig except his tail and his oink. Amen. I grew up eating pickled pig's feet, man. Don't take meat away from me. If God didn't want us to eat meat, why does it taste so much like food? Amen. But we can eat right and we can take care of ourselves. Amen. Why? Because life is serious and we have a purpose for being here. I don't want to get to heaven and find out my book is totally opposite from what it was supposed to have been. I don't want to get to heaven and find out God says, wait a minute, your book wasn't supposed to end this way. Your book wasn't supposed to go this direction. I had a purpose and a plan for your life, and you went another direction. And I want to find the direction He wants me to go, and I want to go that direction. How about you? Life's serious. Chances are we'll bury somebody in this room this year. This year, somebody in this room, life will end. You say, preacher, that's awful. I'm just going on what we know in the past. Why should this year be any different than every year for the last quite a few years? I was thinking about this today. Lord help us. I don't know where my mama's at. In the nursery. Could be Granny Faye. Could be Aunt Lily. Could be Sister Peggy. We've got some elderly people. Somebody may not make it through this year. We need to realize life is not only short, but there is a seriousness of life. What kind of story is your life telling? If I had to preach your funeral, I've had several people over the years tell me what to say at their funeral. Oh, yeah. I've stood by the hospital bed. Sister Price, Sister Judy Price told me what to say at her funeral. I stood by her bedside. She's dying with cancer. She said, I want you to preach at my funeral. There's going to be lost people there. I want you to make sure you preach salvation, heaven high, hell hot. You get them, preacher. What would I say at your funeral? If we had to bury you tomorrow, could I tell your family we know for sure that you're in heaven because we saw or we knew that you trusted Christ as your Savior? And by the way, there is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Could I stand there and tell your family tomorrow? Listen, all these funerals that we've had to deal with in these last 5 weeks, every funeral we've been able to look at the family and say, you can see them again. You can see them again. Hey, we're all going to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We're all going to die. Matter of fact, we're all dying right now. Every breath you draw, you one breath closer to the last one. What is your story? Is it a story worth telling? Does it amount to anything? Not only do I want my story to be that I was saved, but I want my story to be that I did something for God. I made a difference in somebody's life. Somebody's going to heaven because I lived. Because I was here on this earth, somebody's life was touched and changed. And if some have compassion, the Bible said, making a difference. Making a difference. I want to make a difference in them bus children's lives. Amen. I was out there high-fiving them this morning. I want to make a difference in their life. I want to make a difference in your life. I'm glad Kim K came to our church. I am so glad, Jeremy, you brought her to this church. She came in here the first Sunday. I even made fun of her to her face. Jeremy reminded me. I'd forgotten that. Jeremy told me she had Buddha hanging around her neck. Well, I said something goofy like, you get in trouble, you just rub old Buddha. I forgot what it was. Kim was one of them people who believed there was many paths to heaven. She had little figurines and tarot cards, and she had all this kind of stuff. Man, she is trying to get to God. She just didn't know the way. I'm glad she came by here before she took a nap that day. I'm glad she heard somebody tell her Jesus saved. Amen. I remember when she got saved, she come right down here in this altar, man. I remember it like it was yesterday. Hallelujah. Thank God. This church made a difference in her life. Thank God I had a part. I didn't save her. Jesus did. But I pointed her to him. Amen. Brother Jason went over to her house after that and said, she called Jason, want him to come over. And he said, you got it figured out? Which way's the way? She said, oh yeah, it's him. She called Jason over and buried all that other stuff in her backyard. Why? She didn't need all that other stuff. She found out what she needed, and it was Jesus. I'm glad she came by this way. Amen. Ain't God good to allow us to make a difference in somebody else's life? Life is short. Life is serious. Man, I hope if we have to bury you, that it won't just be a time of mourning, but it'll be a time of rejoicing. Amen. A time of rejoicing because we know where you are and we know we can see you again, and rejoicing over what you did for God and how God got glory out of your life. I was standing, it seemed like 6 hours, at the head of Brother J. Bice's casket. I just stood there. My legs were numb. I thought they was going to fall out from under me. And I don't know how many people, I would venture to say 1,000. Through the nights we were at that funeral home, come through that funeral, through that viewing parlor, and looked in the face of Brother J. Bice and said these words. He made a difference in my life. He made a difference in my life. He made a difference. And I repeated the same thing to every one of them. I said, mine too. Mine too. Mine too. Mine too. Hallelujah. Somebody said, or several people said, they'd never been to a funeral like that. It was more like a celebration. It was about like camp meeting, amen? Why? Because we had much to rejoice about in his life. The shortness of life, the seriousness of life. And let me give you this, I got to. The secret of life. What is the secret to life? What is it? Paul said in Philippians, chapter number 1, verse number 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. There's the secret. How do I beat this addiction? Jesus. How do I get out of this? How do I fix this broken relationship? It's Jesus. How do I defeat this sin in my life? It's Jesus. That's the only way you're ever going to do it. No self-help book is going to help you. Dr. Phil's not going to help you. Oprah's not going to help you. Are y'all okay? Joel Osteen ain't going to help you. I told somebody the other day, what that guy says, he doesn't really say anything wrong. It's what he don't say. Amen? Sin will kill you. Sin will shorten your life. I run into guys all the time, Roger, that's our age, and they look 70. We were down in Florida together on vacation back several years ago. Got a phone call. Me and Norman had to get in a limo, come all the way back up here. He owns limos, by the way. I didn't hire a limo. I don't ride around in limo. We had to come all the way back up here. Well, boy, we grew up with Roger's cousin, James Fuller, shot his wife and killed her and then shot himself. I walked over and looked in that casket. He looked like a 70-year-old man. Why? Sin. Sin. It'll make you old before your time. Yes, amen. Amen. Yes, it'll mess you up. Man, we need to realize how serious life is. Right. Now, we need to find the secret to life and grab hold of that thing. And that secret is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. What sets our addictions program here apart from any other? It's Jesus Christ. Amen. It's this book right here. And it's this man that this book is about. It's the Lord. The Lord will make a difference in your life if you will let him. Amen. A lot of people get saved and they think, well, that's it. That is it as far as going to heaven. But that ain't it as far as living. You got to go back to what we preached this morning. You got to grow. Amen. You're going to have to get in this thing. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm in. Yeah. I'm in. I'm not just trying this out. This is not just a hobby. This is my life. Yeah. Amen. This is my life. The shortness of life. The seriousness of life. The secret of life. It's him. It's him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should never perish but have everlasting life. We can go on and on and on and on and on. Jesus died to save you. He said he was not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. The secret of life, it's Jesus. It's not a New Age crystal. It's not Buddha. It's not tarot cards. It's not a crystal ball. It's not a Ouija board. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. He said in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that's what all those things are, little g gods that couldn't help you if they wanted to. Listen, all them other gods are dead. Jesus is alive. Sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, waiting to hear from you. Amen. The secret of life is him. Lastly, and I'm done, the source of life. The source of life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 12, the Bible said, he that hath the Son hath life. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life. Do you know, I didn't even know what living was all about till I come to know Christ. I didn't know what, hey man, I was trying to fill all them voids and all them holes. Hey man, when I got hold of Jesus, boy, I found out what it was to be alive. I couldn't even love my wife to the fullest extent I could love her. Why? Because I didn't have the love of God in me. Amen. The source, man. Thank God we have a source. Amen. The druggies have their dealers. Jesus is my joy dealer. Amen. He's my hookup. I shouldn't even refer to him in that sense, but thank God I have a place to go to. I have a source. I have a place to get what I need, to find strength and help in my time of need. Thank God we know what the source is. Remember the lady that came to the well that day and met a man that told her everything she ever did? And she left with a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Not in her bucket, but in her heart. Amen. He is the source. Sometimes life stinks. The Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust. We're not void of trouble or trial. We're not exempt. Man, trouble's going to find us all. We just got somebody to help us in our trouble. Amen. Trouble's going to come, man. Hey, we need to remember what our source is. Our source is Jesus for salvation, but not only salvation, but for life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Amen. The Lord wants you to have a good life. He wants you to have a happy life. Amen. Amen. Some people enter into deep depression. Listen, man, the Bible says happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I've battled it myself. Man, I used to preach you as wicked and not right with God if you got down. I take that back. I remember when I first started preaching, I was a kid preacher, I'd pray, Lord God, if I start to say anything wrong, kill me. I'm glad he didn't answer that prayer. You'd have been out of a preacher long time ago. Brother Charles said, amen, that's the truth. First Sunday, you'd have been toast, amen. Hey, we all get down. We all have bad days. Moses wanted to die. Elijah wanted to die. Some of the greatest men in the Bible had bad, tough days. And when those days come, we need to remember our source. And we need to run back to that well and say, oh God, I need your help. Amen. Christ is the door to life. He's the demonstrator of life. Christ can also be the destroyer of life. Don't think God can't take you out. Oh, yes, sir. It is appointed unto man once to die. Did you think about that word appointed? You know what that means? If I have an appointment with the doctor tomorrow at 1 o'clock, that means I'm going to get to see the doctor about 2:30. But we serve an on-time God. You already have an appointment. How about that? Now, your appointment may be way out here somewhere. But you can cut that thing short. God gets a lot of credit for things God don't do. By choices we make, we can shorten that time that we have. Oh, let's make sure we get to the source. Let's make sure we know Christ as our Savior. When we mess up, let's get back up. When we fall, let's get back up. Sometimes we fall so hard we need a hand. Don't be ashamed to say, help me up. Help me up. Somebody told me one day, said, I've messed up so bad I'm ashamed to come back to church. I'm ashamed that you won't. Ain't nobody looking down their nose at nobody. Not here. Amen. That may be in the church up the road, but not here.
Right.
Why? Because we understand. Amen. We've been where you are. Amen.
Amen.
Get back to the source. Get back again. What is your life? If you had to sum it up. Now listen. If the story doesn't look too good, we can rewrite it. And I don't mean turn it into from a true story to a fiction. It can still be a true story. Because your life can change right now, today.
Amen.
And you can start going in the right direction with your life. You may not be able to do nothing about the past, but you can do something with the rest of it. However much is left. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Todd, you and Ashley, come if y'all would. Now listen, I'm just going to give the invitation tonight. If you would, could we just bow our heads and close our eyes? Y'all help me up there in the balcony, guys. Just bow our heads and close our eyes, nobody looking around. Listen to me carefully. Most important question you'll ever be asked in your life. If you drop dead right now,
would heaven be your home. You know 100% sure that you're saved. You're a child of God. Slip up your hand. Thank you. It's just about everybody in the room. Wonder if there'd be one to say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. I'm not sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me." Anybody, just slip your hand up, put it right back down. How about this? "Preacher, I know I'm saved, but my story isn't reading like it should read. Preacher, pray for me that I'd get it right." How about that? Hands all over this building. Thank you so much. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you tonight in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for a good day. Thank you for your presence that's been felt on this place. Lord, you saw every hand, you know every heart. Have your way, dear God, in this altar call. And Lord, I pray through this week, Lord, you be with our friends who are hurting, suffering. Lord, I pray you'd comfort them. Lord, just love on them, God. Let them know that they're going to make it through. Father, again, we love you and we thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.